Good morning and welcome to our worship today. The focus of our service is on the words that we'll hear in our first lesson today. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. How did the Lord God speak to his servant Samuel? He spoke through the word of God. And so as we gather today, we listen to Jesus as he speaks to us through his word. We begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 119. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16. Yet so often we have despised God's word. We have failed to gladly hear and learn it. For this and all our sins, we bow before God and humbly ask his forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God gave his word so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing we may have life in his name. John 20:31. The scriptures testify about Jesus, who lived a perfect life for you, for me. He died on the cross to pay for all of our sins, and he rose again to assure us of our salvation. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, you gave your one and only Son to be the light of the world. Grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and believed to the ends of the earth, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God, now and forever. Amen. Today for our worship, what we will do is look at the three lessons appointed for the second Sunday after the Epiphany season. And we will then elaborate on each of the readings. And so first of all, our devotion comes from the first lesson for today, the Old Testament lesson from 1 Samuel chapter 3. We will read verses 1 to 10 later in that devotion. Our theme for this devotion will be, I'm listening. We're first of all going to see it's a harsh reality, a youthful example, and then a heartfelt encouragement. When it comes to the list of great American novels, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn is almost always in the top five. Generally, it's in the top three. The book delves into such subjects as racism, friendship, freedom, war, and religion. And the book has a very good mix of wit and lightheartedness. Of course, the book was written by Mark Twain. And because Mark Twain became such a famous author, he was welcomed in the highest circles. Literary and the social classes just loved him. On one occasion, he was invited by the Emperor of Germany to travel over to Europe to dine with the royal family. When Twain returned, his daughter exclaimed, "Oh, Daddy, you know some of the most important people in the world, except God." Mark Twain did not have much use for the Lord. Well, how do you get to know someone, including the Lord? Our first lesson, this Old Testament lesson, we'll learn it's done by listening. And we're going to learn this from a young boy, how important it is to say, "I'm listening, Lord." These are the words of Scripture. The boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Prophetic vision was not common. Now it happened that Eli's eyes had begun to grow dim, so that he could not see. Once, when Eli was lying down in his place, and God's lamp had not yet gone out, Samuel was lying down in the Lord's temple where God's ark was. The Lord called Samuel, and Samuel said, "I'm here." And he ran to Eli and said, "I'm here since you called me." Eli said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So Samuel went and lay down. Then the Lord called once more, "Samuel." And so Samuel got up, went to Eli and said, "I'm here since you called me." Eli answered, "I did not call. Lie down again." Now Samuel had not yet experienced the Lord's presence. That is, the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel for the third time. And so he got up and went to Eli and said, "I am here since you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the young man. So Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls, you say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And so Samuel went and once again lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there and called as he had the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." There is a harsh reality in these words which we just read. And the harsh reality was true at Samuel's time, obviously, but even maybe more true today. Did you catch it? It was the words, "In those days, the word of the Lord was rare." That does not mean that the word of God was not there. It means just that people were not listening to it. It still happens today, and it can happen to us. Pride says, "I don't have to listen to God because maybe I will not like what God has to say." Hurt sometimes says, "I don't really care with God because God does not care about me when I'm hurting. He's not listening to me when I need him." And on it can go. When these things happen, or sometimes instead of listening to God, we spend more time talking to God. We kind of talk to God on a need basis. "Hey, Lord, I'm in a bind. Hey, Lord, I'm in trouble. Hey, Lord, I'm hurting. I'm in trouble. I'm scared. Come on, God. Can you help me?" We sometimes view the Lord more as a vending machine than our Lord and Savior. Take it from a young boy to give us a beautiful example of listening. I'll read verses 8 through 10 once again. The Lord called Samuel for the third time, and so he got up and went to Eli and said, "I'm here, Lord. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the young man, and so Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And so Samuel went and once again lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there and called as he had the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Now, I don't know about you listening on your computers or however you're listening to the service at this moment, but many of you probably can recognize my voice because you've heard it before. Well, Samuel did not recognize the voice of the Lord because he had not heard it before. Excuse me. And so Eli gave some really good advice. "Just listen," he said. And that's what Samuel did. We're not told what the Lord said, but we're told that Samuel listened. The pastor was taking a group of people through an adult Bible information class and was challenged by a particular student. The student just couldn't believe it when the pastor said creation took place 6 24-hour days. He asked, "How in the world can you be so sure, Pastor? Were you there?" And to his amazement, the pastor said, "Yeah, I was there. I was there when God created the world. I was there when Moses parted the Red Sea. I saw Joshua make the sun stand still. I was there when Daniel was rescued from the lion's den. I saw Jesus walk on water. I heard Jesus preach the Sermon on the Mount. I marveled as Lazarus walked out of the grave. And I was there on that Thursday evening when Jesus began the Lord's Supper. The next day I saw the most horrible thing when those nails were being pounded into his hands and his feet. And I heard the most awesome sound when he said, to the amazement of the soldiers and to me, 'Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing.' 2 days later, on Easter Sunday, I ran to the tomb with John and Peter, and I looked inside and saw that the tomb was empty. Well, this challenger was just befuddled. 'How could that possibly be, Pastor? How could you have seen all those things and heard all those things in the past?' And the pastor picked up the Bible, and he said, 'This is how. God speaks to me. God talks to me, and I listen.'" If I would ask you to spell Flagstaff and Winslow and Cottonwood and Cornville, spell that in 4 letters, would you be able to do it? Flagstaff, Winslow, Cottonwood, Cornville, spell that in 4 letters. Some of you might have gotten it. It's T-H-A-T, that. And if you got that, I give you a hearty well done. Good job listening. Speak, for your servant is listening. That's a heartfelt encouragement to listen to the Lord. Time and time again, he tells you, "I love you." Time and time again, he tells you, "I forgive you." My friends, we can't ever listen and hear those words enough. Our second devotion then is the epistle lesson for today from 1 Corinthians. Before we look at verses 19 and 20, let me ask you a question. How do you feel about your body? You can give it some thought. How do you feel about it? Well, since I asked a question and there's no one here to answer it, I'll answer it myself. How I feel about my body is I like it. I like it a lot. What's there not to like? And don't take my words for it. Take the Apostle Paul. This is what he says. "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God with your body." Corinth was a part of Greece. There was a general and a statesman and an orator by the name of Pericles. And Pericles once stood on the steps of the Parthenon, which was on the top of Mars Hill that overlooked the city of Athens. And he looks out over the city of Athens, but out to the Mediterranean Sea, and he imagines the Persian fleet coming in to invade the country. And then he spoke. He says these words, "I do not fear the might of the Persian army from without, as much as I fear moral decline of our homes from within." Pericles certainly could have been standing on the steps of the Capitol in Washington, D.C. Why are our bodies so prone to sexual immorality? It's the same reason that we are sometimes prone to pop a bag of popcorn and eat the entire bag all by ourselves. God designed our bodies to be fed by food, and God also designed our bodies to be enjoyed by sex. Sex is a gift from God. It's a beautiful thing. But it is sin that has taken sex and made it into something that is thrown in the gutter. Sin tempts us to think like, hey, it's my body, I can do what I want with it. That's what Satan uses. And it's not just not biblical, it's not even moral. It's actually twice wrong. Can anyone say it's my environment and I could just trash it any way I want? Can anyone say it's my road and I can drive recklessly on it any way I want? It's my workplace and I'm just going to harass my fellow employees and workers just no matter how hard, just because I want to. Can we do that? No. That doesn't fly. That doesn't cut it. The wrongness of those statements is so obvious. It's just the environment? It's just the workplace? Well, it's just not my body either. Because God gave it to me. He created it. And along with you, we share, along with us having our body, we share that body with someone. It's with Jesus. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Could you ever imagine taking trash and dumping it on the altar in church? Could you imagine doing that? No. Because that altar symbolizes, represents where God is. It's where God lives. And what does Paul say about our body? It's the altar. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we would never want to take trash of sexual immorality and just dump it here in God's altar. It's wrong because God gave us our bodies. To pay for our sins, Jesus' body was abused in the most vile way. Jesus paid for the unspeakable sins, sins that you don't want anyone else to know. Jesus paid to take away the guilt that sometimes haunts you for years. Jesus paid to make our lives pure and shining like the brightest light in the world. And what does that payment and power empower us to do? To honor God with our bodies. We could summarize sexual immorality with one word. That would be selfishness. And we can summarize honoring God with our bodies in one word. And that's serving. Serving God who created our bodies and redeemed our bodies. God lives in our bodies. Our bodies are his temple. Therefore, let us honor God with our bodies. And then we turn to our third devotion today, which is the gospel lesson for today. And that gospel lesson is going to come from John chapter 1. It's kind of fun to play with grandkids when you have an opportunity. But to really enjoy playing with grandkids, what you need to do is come down to their level. Well, in our gospel lesson, this third devotion, that's what we learn about Jesus and how he relates to us. He relates to us because he came down to our level. He relates to us because he spends time with us. And how do we relate to Jesus? By spending time with him. These are the words then of our text from John chapter 1. The next day Jesus wanted to leave for Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" "Come and see," Philip told him. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said about him, "Truly here is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, while you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus replied, "You believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." And then he added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Nathanael is a disciple that doesn't get a lot of press, but what we see, we certainly do like. Nathanael took time with Jesus. However, when Philip first introduced or approached Nathanael about Jesus, we hear that Nathanael was less than impressed with Jesus. Philip found Nathanael and said, "We have found the one that Moses has written about." And then Nathanael says, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" And Philip says, "Come and see." Nathanael was skeptical. How could his mighty Messiah, whom Moses is pointing to in the Old Testament scriptures, be fulfilled in this less than impressive guy from this little town of Nazareth? Well, rather than to argue with Nathanael, what do we do? What does Philip do? Philip just says, "Come and see." See what? What did Philip see that inspired him to go invite Nathanael? And what did Nathanael see in Jesus that changed his life and inspired him to follow Jesus forever? What did they see? They saw lives transformed, souls redeemed, heaven opened. Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things. I tell you the truth, you will see heaven open and the angels of God descending and descending on the Son of Man." Jesus is the key that opens the door to heaven. On those outstretched arms on the cross, he has won that victory that opens the door to eternal life for you and for me. And he did it through the gift of faith so that we can now come to him. He points to himself as a source of our salvation. He calls himself the Son of Man, but refers to himself as the Son of God. A girl, senior in high school, was filling out the college application requirement. And, well, she came to the question that asked, "Are you a leader?" She wanted to be honest, and so she said no. She wasn't a leader. A couple of weeks later, she received a letter back from the university, and here's what it said. "Dear applicant, a study of the applications we have received this year reveals we have 1,452 new leaders. We're accepting you because we feel it's imperative that we have at least one follower." It's not glamorous. It's not an intention getter. But our role is the same of that fictitious college girl. We can walk in front of Jesus, live our own lives the way we want, or we can follow him, recognizing him as our leader. Jesus is our master. We are his servants. Jesus is the good shepherd, and we are his sheep. There's a wonderful connection in all three of these lessons today. In the Old Testament lesson, Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the Ark of God was. A gospel lesson, we're told that Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. The epistle lesson from Corinthians, we hear that the Apostle Paul says that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in us. The connection is God's presence here on earth. In the Old Testament, God's presence was in the Ark of the Covenant. In the gospel, God was present on earth in Jesus. And today he is present in the world through us. As we follow Jesus, we have the privilege to say with our lips, to show with our lives, "Come and see." Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. God bless you. God bless your day.